listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Trade up any non-contact thermometer for a $5 rebate towards an Exogen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters more than ever when taking temperature, and published research shows non-contact models miss 5 out of 6 fevers. Upgrade to Exogen, the only home forehead thermometer proven accurate by published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Details at Exogen.com. U.S. Open begins on Thursday. Torrey Pines out in Southern California. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Will Gray joins us, NBC Sports. Give us a little preview of the Open. How are you, Will?
I'm good, Tony. Always good to be back with you.
Always good to be with you. All right, so let's talk right off the bat. Phil Mickelson. It's a home course. He's coming off a major. He's 51 today. People want to know if he's got a realistic chance at claiming that U.S. Open finally. What's his opportunity here, Will?
Yeah, it's certainly not one that we expected to be talking about a month ago when he needed a special exemption from the USGA just to get into this field. But, you know, that's what happens when you win the PGA at age 50. A lot of things change. You know, this would be a storybook of storybooks. You know, this is the one that got away from Phil. 6 times a runner-up. Now he's playing in his own backyard in San Diego. It's going to take a lot, I think, to get him into the mix. First of all, he has not played well at the U.S. Open since 2013 at Merriam when he was a runner-up. Ever since he's had this chance to round out the career Grand Slam with this event, he has really struggled, and it's been more bad than good. And then you throw in the Torrey Pines South Course, and it's a place where he won twice early in his career, but since a recent redesign, he has also struggled. So the fans are going to be behind him. The storyline is going to be there. A lot of attention will be paid to him because of what he did last month at Kiowa, but I'm not sure that we're going to see him on the leaderboard again.
Let's get to the redesign of the course, and you mentioned it. It was a course that he grew up playing, but it became different so much so that he didn't like the changes. How much has he, over the 10 years or so, 20 years or so since the redesign, has he been working on getting back to a familiarity with that golf course?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, it's certainly a course that he sees more often than not. You know, most of the time for the Farmers Insurance Open, he's in the field, so you see it. You know, it's a mix between the North and the South for that event, but this is an interesting dynamic for this major because we're used to seeing it on courses where guys don't see it every 6 or 7 years or so, like we had with Kiowa last month. But this is a course where a lot of guys, including Phil, see it pretty much every year. Now, it's different in January than it's going to play in June for sure. The fairways are going to be more narrow. The rough is going to be way thicker. And things are going to be a little bit more baked out on and around the greens. But there are probably some similarities to this course that you would look to guys who have had some success on this course in a different event.
Let's stay on Phil for one more question here about his U.S. Open record. You mentioned the 6 runner-ups. Look, Lee Trevino never won the Masters, always said, I can't win here. It's just my game isn't there. And there are golfers who would never win the British Open, just can't play that kind of style of golf. Phil Mickelson can play U.S. Open golf. Is there a common thread, though, in the 6 runner-up finishes as to why he hasn't won this thing?
No, it's funny. He's pretty much gone across the board. I had an interview with his longtime caddy, Bones McKay, a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about basically he was asked to rank, you know, which one was toughest. You have Wingfoot, which is the one that everyone goes to, where he blew it on the 72nd hole, but he said that's not the most painful one because Phil wasn't playing well all day that week, or all day on Sunday. And so he thinks that it's tougher to have a round like in 1999 at Pinehurst when he played absolutely brilliantly, but just Payne Stewart was one shot better, making a long putt on 18. So he has had heartbreak every which way in this tournament. He's given it away. He's had guys beat him down the stretch, everything in between, and it just has not been meant to be.
All right, now let's get to another story that's kind of brewing, and that's Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. People wanted them paired up. They're not being paired up. Really quick, did the USGA even consider this option?
It depends on who you ask. Brad Faxon, you know, longtime PGA Tour pro, said that he heard yesterday on SiriusXM, he said that he had heard that the USGA had asked Bryson for the pairing and Bryson had declined. Now, Bryson's people came back out very vociferously and said, no, we were never asked. We never declined. That's a bad story. So as with everything with Brooks and Bryson, it's becoming he said, he said. nothing really becomes straightforward with this one, but I was not surprised to see them paired separately. I think that kind of like with Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed after the dust up at the 2018 Ryder Cup, I think a lot of people are going to wait for them to be paired naturally with their scores on the weekend. versus being seen as manufacturing this artificial situation or enhancing the rivalry by putting them together for the first two rounds.
Is this rivalry, I mean, it's fun to talk about, but is it good for the game of golf to have, it seems a little petty, but it seems kind of fun and interesting. Is it good for the game?
I think that this is, again, a topic that divides, you know, purists from, you know, more progressive golf folks. I think it's good for the game because it has non-golf people talking about golf, right? I mean, when you're watching other sports shows, whatever, Brooks Bryson moves the needle. It gets golf into the conversation when it otherwise might not be. And so I think, from my perspective, that's probably good. There are going to be a few people that tune in tomorrow to the U.S. Open only to see what Brooks and Bryson do and potentially only to see if one of them decks the other one. That, you know, is that great for the game, capital G? I don't know, but it does bring more people in terms of increasing interest. I think it's a net positive.
What happened to John Rahm at Memorial? Is there a concern that that could happen here? The USGA is running this, so there might be a whole different standard of how they're dealing with COVID, players being vaccinated or whatnot. But if that happened at the US Open, I can't imagine a bigger story than a guy with a huge lead at a major being told he can't play anymore.
Yeah, I think that when, you know, all those rules came out and people talked about, well, you know, you could have to withdraw in the middle of the tournament, there was a thought like, well, you know, they're not going to make a big name withdraw with like a 6-shot lead.
Right.
And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. So now it's kind of like all bets are off. You know, the PGA Tour at the Memorial, you know, said that over 50% of the tour players are vaccinated. So that means that there's still, you know, a significant portion that probably aren't or aren't fully vaccinated. So it's still, you know, potentially in the cards. I do think that from talking to guys that what happened to John Rahm at the Memorial was a little bit of a shock to the system to see, okay, well, now, you know, it can happen to anyone at any time, and you kind of have to be able to take the consequences from there. So certainly no one wants that situation to play out. That was, you know, unfortunate, but Rahm spoke to the media yesterday, really took it well, took the high ground and said, you know, he's learned from it. He had no regrets about how the PGA Tour handled it, and he's hoping to make it, you know, four rounds of great golf this week instead of three last time out.
All right, Torrey Pines, how is it set up for the U.S. Open? Guy like Bryson DeChambeau showed at Wingfoot, if I can hit it far, and even if I hit it in the rough, short irons are better. Does that play into his hands at Torrey Pines?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a common theme. When you look at the recent U.S. Open winners, it's Bryson, Brooks, DJ, even Gary Woodland is not short. So clearly this is a tournament, regardless of venue, that caters to the ultra-long on PGA Tour. Because that's your point. You know, everyone talks about, you know, you have to hit a fairway. Well, at the U.S. Open, everyone misses fairways. You can't hit them all. And so now are you coming into the green from the thick stuff with an 8-iron or a 5-iron? I would rather be coming in with an 8-iron with a guy like Bryson, Brooks, and those guys. So I do think that this tournament and this course specifically caters to brute strength off the tee. But I think you're also going to have to be able to putt the Poana greens late in the day. They're going to be very difficult. They're a different kind of grass, not something that a lot of guys are used to. So it's going to be a combination of you've got to have a rocket launcher off the tee, and you have to bring your short game as well.
Jordan Spieth dealing with a foot injury, big deal, little deal, no deal. How do you see that?
I don't think we're quite into Curt Schilling bloody sock territory here.
Good point.
It's not something you want to have to deal with the eve of a major, but I do think he's had a couple days to work things through, and you know, I think that it's probably a minor thing to monitor, especially over the next 2 days. But I think that if he works his way into the mix, you know, he's been playing so well this year throughout so many events. If he gets into the mix on the weekend, I think that his ankle's going to be feeling just fine.
Just from your perspective as somebody who's covering golf, especially when it's around the majors, it wasn't really that long ago that Tiger Woods won the Masters, and we kind of felt like maybe there's something here. And obviously with the accident, he's been out. He wasn't a factor in some of the majors that he played before the accident, but how much when you get to these majors now, and we've had three of them, do we miss him? Do we miss just him being there?
Especially this week, I think it's heightened. Well, I mean, it was someone that's always at the Masters, you're going to miss him, but this week, going back to Torrey Pines, this is the place of one of the greatest victories of his career, winning the U.S. Open on one leg in 2008. He had every, you know, he ticked every box from a narrative perspective. You had the final putt on Sunday. You had the playoff, you know, walking around, limping everywhere, having Stevie Williams pick him up out of bunkers. So I believe they're putting a plaque down today around the 18th green to commemorate the putt. So that shows how much he's still top of mind, you know, especially at this particular venue because it was such a big storyline. And for years to come after that 08 victory, it's really what everyone was talking about because there was a long time where we thought that was going to be his final major victory. And so I think it became even heightened in the lore of, wow, look at what he did and what he was able to overcome.
Dark horse predictions. We know some of the who's who of golf going into these majors. A dark horse, anybody that's catching your eye late?
Yeah, I don't know if Victor Hovland quite counts as a dark horse, but he definitely has caught my eye. I think this is a tournament that has, for the last 5 years, crowned a first-time major champion, and I think Victor Hovland fits the bill as one who has had great success in the majors early in his career and was a runner-up at this tournament in January. And then a little bit further down the board, I've got an eye on Jason Kokrak, who just beat Jordan Spieth a couple weeks ago at Colonial. He's another guy who hits it super long off the tee, but he has had a renaissance on the greens. He's gone from 103rd to 5th in putting this season, and that's a big reason why he has leveled up and really has had a lot more success this year.
Real quick, I think Will Gray of NBC Sports, before we let you go, it's California. I know the Dodgers had a full stadium, so it looks like crowds are starting to come back, but each state is different. How is the crowds? What's the expectations of their presence on Torrey Pines?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see the mob scene, so to speak, that you had at Kiowa a couple weeks ago for the PGA. There are going to be fans, but they're going to be in a much more limited capacity than we have seen at some PGA Tour events. As you mentioned, they're going state by state, and each one sets different regulations. So California, there were very few fans at the U.S. Women's Open a couple weeks ago in San Francisco at Olympic. So you're going to see some fans this week, but it's definitely not going to be a full scene.
Will Gray, always love talking to you, man. Enjoy the tournament, and we'll try to catch up with you down the road.
Sounds good, Tony. Always good to be with you.
You got it. Will Gray, NBC Sports on the U.S. Open. So that's kind of too bad. I always liked the crowds at majors. I loved what we saw at Kiowa Island. But again, as you mentioned, every state's a little different how they are managing and controlling crowds and whatnot. But, especially if Phil is in contention again. That was a wild scene, though. I have to admit, that was wild on the 18th at Kiowa where he had like a crowd of people around him. Then he hits his shot and they just went, I guess everyone can just walk all over the golf course now and follow him to the 18th green. It's very similar to Tiger at Eastlake, the same kind of thing where security has to get around a guy and get him to that green because the crowd's going crazy. All right, that was Will Gray of NBC Sports on a Progressive guest line. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new HomeQuote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. All right, well, there's a similarity between Tiger and Kevin Durant. We'll talk about that next on Wake Up Call.